glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we are visited by my daughter, Rebecca Jean Leland. She popped in to see me, and I'm thinking this is a great opportunity to chat with her about a recent post that I was reading, and I didn't really understand it. So I said, well, let's just go to the author and let's see what she was thinking. So thanks, Rebecca, for joining me on Mark and Friends.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for wanting to talk about the post.
Why don't you go ahead and read it, and then we'll talk about it.
I'd love that. So I started out punchy, trying to get people's attention. So I said, something that I hate about being a Christian, that it's not against a Christian's nature to be sensitive, weak, and dependent, while simultaneously being bold, outspoken, unwavering, and active. These two character traits are ones I've had since my strong-willed yet tender first birthday, and have taken me till my 30th birthday to recognize they're not mortal enemies, but aspects of a true Christian walk. It's not about controlling how we feel, but who we are surrendering our feelings to. The Lord leads us in meek, tender, painful refinement as we walk. He designed the narrow path of stewardship. He also calls us to be bold, abrasive toward sin, and fearless in loving others and God in the face of opposition. A sister in Christ remarked how a future husband of mine would either need to 1, compliment and outmatch my boldness, or 2, soften me. I realized that she was almost right, because it isn't my future husband, but Christ himself, who is outmatching the boldness and softening the heart of his bride. To what purpose? For me, for a future spouse, it could be, but for me, to give his bride a hope and a future, definitely. And then I put Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God.
So this obviously had opportunity for comments, right? Did you get any comments back from this? Nothing?
I just got 2. I normally do get comments, but it's normally from non-believers who are mad about the gospel. But this one, I just had believers saying, yes, this. And then I had another believer just doing clapping hands emoji. People definitely, they like to hear that the struggle is real and following after Christ isn't easy. It's an encouragement sometimes to hear discouragement and how hard it can be to even lean on the Holy Spirit, right? In the way that we're called to. Because it is complicated. It can be simple, but it's not easy. And it can be complicated when your flesh wants to go one way, but the Holy Spirit very clearly told to go the other way.
No, that's living the shared reality. And you know, when you're talking about this, Rebecca, my brain goes to 2 Corinthians 12:9-11. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I think right there is the crux of what you were trying to communicate. It's kind of like a thorn in the flesh. It really is. If one is more in charge than the other, feeling too weak or feeling too strong. It's that when I'm weak, then I am strong. It's strong in the Lord stuff. How do we delight in weaknesses, in insults? It's just, that's a space that I think we all have to kind of grow into.
Yeah, and picking your battles, because as a believer, what are the insults about? Like, are they about my sin? Then I should probably refine that out of me. But I think it really hurts when the insults are geared toward your salvation and your refinement and actually what Christ is doing in you. The way you can be delighting in that weakness is because you're like, oh, no, that's Jesus in me. Like, you're not attacking me. You're attacking God in me. And it does make it easier. Like, when someone attacks you for a strong, biblical belief, while you can be sad that you're getting that attack, it is in some ways a lot easier than for someone to attack you for a character flaw or a sin in your life, because the sin in your life, that's on you. And that is something that you need to be refined out. And that's something biblically that we're called to iron sharpen iron. And like, what is the Bible good for? It's good for refinement, for reproof, for correction and righteousness. But when someone attacks you for a biblical belief, you can say, oh, like, yeah, I'm weak in this, but you're attacking God, not me. But it's still uncomfortable. Like no one ever goes, you know, shouldn't go into a fight for the gospel and leave feeling numb or feeling like, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. You know, if you go to hell, it's on you. But you shouldn't also not say anything because you're like, oh, well, what if they don't take this well? And I think that's the Christian walk where you have to be sensitive. You have to be meek. You have to be sensing the spirit and you have to be sensitive. But you also have to then go do the thing. Like you still have to go into battle, even though you could get hurt and you probably will get hurt because it's not a war between flesh and bone, right? But of powers and principalities. And I think it's understanding both those things and being okay with crying while wielding the sword of the spirit and being sensitive, but not letting that sensitivity stop you. But like you said, the sword, the thorn in the flesh. I feel you, but I'm gonna keep going. But even this morning at church, our pastor said, the hardships that you go through, it can be refining something out of you. Like maybe needs to humble you in some ways, because we can never be too humble, I don't think. Yeah, but it's not comfortable. I think that's what I meant when I said I hate it. Obviously, I don't hate it, right? Like you can't say I hate being a Christian, but my flesh hates this idea that I cannot be strong or I cannot retreat. I have to be weak.
There is that. It's just a rub as believers. We have to be crying, you know, while we are doing the battle. Weeping soldiers. That's a good word, Rebecca. Now, but pastor's wife had a really good take. She had gone to a conference, you know, she was tired. There was this one guy picking on her, just being mean. But she knew he was struggling, and she knew a lot of his backstory. And so she just, by the power of the Holy Spirit, even though nothing in her wanted to, went over and talked to him. And just said, you know, I know what you're going through, but hang in there. You've got four beautiful children who love you, and life is worth living, and God still loves you. You know, he was struggling with some faith issues. And so, you know, afterwards, his response was like, meh. She didn't really get anything back from him. But then she gets a text on her way home. But there was this beautiful text about how important that moment was. And that how he realized God saw him, and that I think it gave him strength to continue the battle that he was going through. So, you know, talk about that, not liking sometimes in our flesh, in our humanness, what God is calling us to.
Yeah, calling us to die to ourselves. And that's the, I will boast all the more gladly my weaknesses. It doesn't mean, and I will put off all my weaknesses, or I will strengthen all my weaknesses. It's you have to still do it in that weakness. And another man after service came up to me and we sang Goodness of God, which was beautiful, to the congregation. And he just said that when he had COVID, he was not able to breathe. Like he was just on the couch. And as he prayed, the Holy Spirit was just like, you need do what you can. And that song came to mind, and it's with every breath that I am able. And so that doesn't mean with 100% accuracy with everything that anyone can do. So what can you do? The breath that you are able to do, what are you able to do with that? So he was like, all right, I'm going to go take out the trash because I'm able to do that. I'm going to will myself to be able to do that. But it doesn't mean that he was able in that moment to be completely healed and to, you know, just run a marathon. But with every breath that he was able, what is he able to do? And the same with our pastor's wife. What is she able to do? Did she need to invite that man over for supper? No, she just needed to share the gospel with him. And even though it was against her flesh, she still did God's will in her weakness, even though it was uncomfortable. Like as she was sharing this, she wasn't, you know, she was being very candid about it. Like she was struggling. She said, I was fighting the Lord on that. But God is big, right? In my weakness, he is strong. And she was able to have a testimony in that moment, right? Where we could see through her weakness into God's heart for that man and see how God's heart was able to touch that man despite her weakness, which is very justified. I think a lot of times we have a lot of justified weaknesses, right? And we're able to say, oh, well, I'm weak because of this. I'm weak because of that, you know. I have COVID, so I can't do this. Like, well, what can you do? And what is God calling you to do? And I think that's where it's at. And that's, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses.
We are feeling weak, physically weak. As we age, we lose it. We're losing the mobility. We're losing that mitochondrial energy that we had when we were younger. With every breath that I have, I feel like that's the message of our moment here for our listeners. We're weak. We really, really are. And yet, in that weakness, we can be strong in the Lord. And that doesn't mean we go out and lift up anything or garden for 5 hours or do all the maybe things that we used to do, the, you know, 5-day clubs during the summer. And there was just a lot of physical activity. But maybe now, dear listener, God is calling you into the spiritual weightlifting, where you have breath, you're here, there's obviously something more for you to do. I really think it's prayer, Rebecca. I feel like that is your powerlifting, super Christian power, is to pray for one another. Let's never minimize that.
Amen. Actually believe in the power of prayer and pray boldly in His name. Pray that He would give us His heart, that He would give us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean that He's giving us what we want, but He's giving us what He wants for us. And praying daily and praying often and praying without ceasing, like it says in the Bible. And how do we continue to pray without ceasing? We're mentally putting our minds. And amazing way of doing that is just, yeah, talking to God. Talk to Him like you're walking with Him every day. When you wake up, when you go to sleep, just like a parent is supposed to train up their child, right? As they're walking on the way, as they rise up in the morning, we're supposed to be talking to our Heavenly Father, and we're supposed to be learning from Him. Because He is, if we believe He's all wisdom, we should be talking and walking and praying and relying on Him. And He will make Himself known throughout any situation we're going through, and being the great comforter. There's so much goodness in God.
So let's get practical. Let's talk about weakness. We mentioned a couple weaknesses. The weakness of not wanting to talk to people who are mean to you, and not wanting in our flesh to minister to people who are mean to you and are just not there for you. Maybe a weakness is not forgiving someone who, at a really important point in your history, they abandoned you, and it was real, and it was painful, and it hurt. And those are real things. So maybe the weakness there is to turn that person over to the Lord and allow the Lord to work on him. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Maybe your weakness is just physical weakness. And, you know, as we age, we just lose vitality. And so that could be real. You've got maybe some physical issues going on that just don't seem to be curable, and you're walking in that weakness. Another weakness, for I know many of our dear listeners, is their kids. They're adults now. They're making their own choices. And maybe they come back at you and saying, oh, it's your fault. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You know, parents get their scorecard. And that's difficult. That's a weakness. It really does. It brings parents to their knees. And that's where we should be. So what do you think some of the other weaknesses? Maybe, you know, a season of maybe singleness.
Yeah, I think all of those can be chalked up to where you're finding your identity. Because if it's singleness, you're finding your identity and potentially a partner. If it's physical, you're finding your identity in what you can physically do. If it's your kids, you're finding your identity. If people are keeping your scorecard, thinking that you didn't raise them well enough. So I think it's where you're finding your identity. And when it comes to, yeah, bitterness, someone said recently that bitterness is self-inflicted 100% of the time. Because you don't have to hold on to any of these thoughts, any of these negative, sinful desires, even though they are justified by the world to hold on to. Christ says, give it to me. Like, you're weak in this. You can't. You're not supposed to hold on to all this sin. This is not how I designed you. I didn't design you to have your identity in your labor, your children, your spouse. You were designed to have your identity in me, because I'm never changing. Your labor, your spouse, your abilities, all of those change day by day. And we were even talking about recently giving people the ability to give us our worth is so dangerous, and we have to take that away. We have to not say that our identity is found in anything other than Christ, because in that way, they go, okay, what's my identity, Lord? And He's like, you're weak. You are naturally weak, but guess what I did for you? I gave you I took out your heart of stone and I gave you a heart of flesh, and this is who you are. And that can only be found in Christ. That can't be found in anything that we do and in our weaknesses. Like, we're never going to be able to fix our weaknesses, because even if we fix the first thing, there are 12 more coming at you in the new day that you will then have to battle on your own or battle through Christ's power.
A lot of people thought Paul's thorn in the flesh was his eyesight. He had some issues with his eyes. He said, if I could, I would have, you know, torn out my eyes. And, you know, Luke had to write some things. So people think the thorn in the flesh was the eyeballs. Some people think it was the Pharisees and all the Judaizers who were constantly at him, constantly, you know, stirring up people to want to kill him. And so they felt like maybe the Pharisees and the such were the thorn in the flesh. And I'm wondering if God was using that, perhaps. I know he did in this way, because Paul's identity, like you said, was in their opinion.
And Paul is the perfect example, because of course he was sad when the Pharisees or Sadducees or anyone rejected. And that's not only because they were rejecting Paul. Paul knew that they were rejecting Christ. And so that thorn in the flesh, while he prayed about it, it didn't seem in scripture that it was taken away. And I think that's the Lord. The Lord doesn't just take away the pain that those that you love and do ministry for don't believe in him. Like, if that's a pain for the Holy Spirit as well. Like he yearns for those who don't know him to know him. So when you share scripture with someone and they reject it, you should be worried if you don't feel anything. You should be worried if you're not crying or sad when someone rejects the Holy Spirit. So, and that's the both and. That's the, you have to feel sad about it, but you also have to do it. You can't feel so sad that you're like, well, I'm just not going to say anything because it hurts too much whenever they deny Christ. But you can't feel nothing when they deny Christ. So he had the pain whenever those that he loved, those that he was like, those that he used to walk even in higher stature than they were walking, and Christ found him and saved him. He knew it was so much better, even though it was so much more painful. He knew that what he was doing was exactly what he was supposed to be doing. We look up to Paul, but we often overlook the fact that he was not spared a moment of pain.
Well, dear Rebecca, we are coming to the end of our time here on Mark and Friends, but I just want to thank you again for letting me bring you into the studio and find out what is going on in the heart of a millennial.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you, listeners, for listening. We just pray for you all that you would just listen to the Holy Spirit as he just calls you to himself and calls you to the identity of living for Christ and being a Christ follower, that it is hard, but it is worth it, and is the only thing that can give us a hope and a future.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Tomorrow, coming up on Mark and Friends, he gathers all his friends in the studio, and they're going to give you a wonderful Bible study. Pastor Mark Johnson has been so faithful over the many, many weeks to continue to help us look into God's Word, and you'll hear voices from those in the studio. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.